Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with Tom Carr. He is an author here in Kentucky, wrote just a powerful book called The Prodigal Son, The Addict, A True Story of One Man's Fall from Grace and His Journey Back from Addiction. And I know Tom personally, once he was able to get on the sobriety side, we worked together at Northeast Christian Church for a season, and just a powerful story. I'm so thankful that he has put it in a book form, and just to bring help to maybe someone that's struggling with addiction, or if you've got a loved one, just if you want to be encouraged, really encourage you to get a copy of this book, and we'll be telling you about where you can get that later. But Tom, we wrapped up yesterday's program, you talking about how drugs and just alcohol destroyed your life, to led to some divorces, failed marriages, then you started dealing, then you got arrested, then you got out, and then you went back to addiction, and then it even resulted in writing some bad checks. And man, when you're in addiction, you'll do whatever you have to do to get your fix, right?
Correct.
Talk to us about, you know, when you finally knew that it was over, that you were really going to go to prison. Tell us a little bit about that, when, how that played out.
Well, I was currently on, I had gotten arrested for trafficking in controlled substance and several possession charges and various things in Eastern Kentucky. And I was out on bond. I think I served about 30 some days, and then I was released on bond for those charges. And while I was out on bond, I went back to my parents' house in Lexington to try to get away from that activity. And even though I was away from the activity, it was still, you know, eating at me. I just, whatever I had to do to get a fix was all that I could focus on. I was taking things from my parents, my tools and various items that I thought could get anything at the pawn shop, and pawning them and getting just enough money to run, get a fix, and come back home, you know, thinking this is going to last me for, you know, several days. But, you know, hours later, here I was, you know, same process. It was just over and over. And I came across some old checks from one of my dad's businesses that he had that he had retired from years before. But in some of the stuff in my parents' basement, there was these checks. Well, I thought I could just start writing the checks, and I did. And lo and behold, the banks were cashing them left and right. I was thinking, this is not going to last long, and it didn't. It, you know, it finally came to an end one day when I came across the wrong person trying to cash my check for me. It was, I think, a former detective from the police department that kind of knew right away that something was fishy, and he went to the back and called the police and had them come in. And when I was arrested that day for the trying to cash the forged check, I knew that, being out on bond, I wouldn't be getting back out anytime soon. It was, prison was most likely in my future, and that terrified me.
So eventually that day came, and you wind up serving 14 months at the Marion Adjustment Center. And just talk about just how you started to come to the realization about the addiction and how God helped to set you free.
Right. As I'd mentioned in the earlier broadcast about the addiction, it comes back to haunt you. And while I was locked, where half of it being, you know, psychological and the other part being chemical, but while you're locked up, you obviously get away from the chemical part of it, and that part of the addiction starts to wear off, and then you still fight the psychological part of it. But I knew if I was going to get clean and try to make something different of my life, now is the time, because I was going to have plenty of time ahead of me to start working on that. And it would start by forgiveness, and that turned out to be one of the hardest things for me. Others were forgiving me for what I'd done, but forgiving myself was probably the single hardest thing that I had to do.
Well, that's one of the things I've learned, Tom, now doing ministry myself for 20 years, that people are harder on themselves than God is. Have you found that?
Oh, absolutely. It was a hard road, but, you know, I had plenty of time to read the Bible, to focus in on what I needed to do. And, you know, even then, it was still a lot. It was a long road. It was, I begged God to send me to, you know, to not send me to prison, to send me to a rehab so I could get the help that I needed. And, you know, obviously he knows what's best, and he knew prison was best for me. If I had gone to a rehab, I would have done the 30-day rehab and probably right back out on the street again doing the same old thing. But he kept me there, and he knew what it was going to take. And, you know, I begged him not to, but, you know, he did, and I didn't get mad at him. I just, okay, this is what I have to do. Let's just start working on coming back.
Well, you share in your book, and I just love your book because you're just so transparent. I just feel like I hear you saying it as you were writing it, and you said on page 110 in your book and chapter 26 that the thought of getting out of prison terrified me to the core. On the one hand, I was excited to get out, but on the other hand, the unknown of where to even start was terrifying. And you talked about, you know, that you're your sister was so gracious and kind to take you in for a while, but you talked about how tough nighttime was, and you talked about how the routine of singing a hymn in your head helped you fall asleep. Talk a little bit about that.
Right. During my incarceration, one of the things that really got me the worst was trying to sleep at night. You know, it was loud. It was always loud all night long. Everybody was up all night playing cards and, you know, screaming and carrying on, and then they slept all day. So at night it was hard. Plus, you know, even through my addiction and the 20 years prior, sleeping, that's when the demons came after me, was in my sleep. And, you know, I didn't understand a lot of it. But so when I was in jail, I just tried to focus back on a better time. And better times for me were, for what I knew, the foundation. I went back to the foundation of church, and I tried to remember some of the old songs that were sang in church on Sunday. I would just try to, you know, focus on the words to that. That would help me fall asleep, and then over time it helped me develop a pattern, you know, that would was a better thought pattern and would help keep me a little calm.
Well, I loved you shared that, you know, one of those hymns that really helped you was that hymn of invitation that you heard at your church so often. You said, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." And that's basically what you did. Is that right, Tom?
Correct. That was the night before my early release. I was praying the same prayers that I'd prayed many nights before for God to give me a song to help calm me. That's the first one that popped in my head, and almost always I would wake up the next morning, wouldn't necessarily be the same song, but I always woke up with a song in my head, and I knew that was my clarification that was working for me. That was something, just instead of waking up and remembering, you know, nightmares and the other, it was waking up with good thoughts and a good pattern that I was falling into.
Well, I love you just went on in that chapter talking about, you know, the song Blessing Assurance, Jesus is mine. And John chapter 8 verse 36 said, "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." And I love on page 113, you said, "Addiction had been conquered, grace had been given, I had been set free." And you said, you know, 25 years had passed since I first asked God for a story to tell. And even though I hadn't thought about that for many, many years, right then and there, my story was revealed to me through the song I had prayed for. And one by one, the pieces of the puzzle begin to fall into place as confirmation of my faith. It's a puzzle that is still being assembled every single day of my life. Talk a little bit about that, Tom.
Absolutely. When I was probably 16, I'd asked God, I dedicated my life to full-time Christian ministry. I wanted to be in the youth ministry. And then, you know, the snowball effect with the divorce, and the church told me that I couldn't hold a position in the church because of divorce, and that's kind of where I turned and went the opposite direction. But I'd ask him that, you know, when I was 16, but then here I was 45 years old and hadn't really thought a lot about it until that morning that I woke up with my release, and I had this tune in my head, but I was focused on the word. I just had this tune, but I just felt something different. I mentioned in the book, I could feel the demons being drawn from me, and I knew. And then I got to the chorus of that tune that said, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." And I knew right then and there that I've been set free. I felt that there was the peace that passes all understanding. I didn't have to question it. I knew that I'd been set free. And the John 8 that says, when the Son sets free, is free indeed. And it's like, I knew it. I didn't have to say, I didn't have to get the clarification from somebody else. I knew that I'd been set free, and I knew that I was going to be okay from that point on.
Such a powerful story. Really would encourage you to get a copy of this book, The Prodigal Son, The Addict, A True Story of One Man Falls from Grace and His Journey Back from Addiction. And Tom Carr just sharing his powerful story. A guy grew up here in Central Kentucky, now lives out in Western Kentucky. He'll be celebrating 20 years of sobriety this 23rd of September. And Tom, what would you say to that person that's they've kind of lost hope today in their battle with addiction? What would you say to them?
Don't ever give up. It's how many times I tried to give up. I wanted to give up. That was the only way I could see out. I couldn't see any other way. But that's why I decided to write the book, is because I want people to know it's possible. There is hope.
Well, you are a living example of it, of trusting God and surrendering your one and only life to Him, and just so proud of you, man. I want to encourage you to follow Tom on Facebook. It's called The Prodigal Son, The Addict, and we'll have that contact information with the podcast of this radio program that we're doing. And also, Tom, I love that you've got a dream. You want to place one of these books in all the facilities here in Kentucky. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, when I started first writing my testimony back in 2004, it was, you know, I wanted to go back and share that. And I was actually able to, dealing with some prison ministries over time, was able to go back in. But, you know, I wanted to be able to share it with the prisoners, the people. Those are the people who need hope. And, you know, at that point, they're probably more willing to, you know, to look into it than they are if they're still on the street and still busy with, you know, the distractions of, you know, the flesh. So if they're incarcerated there, so I decided, you know, I want to, if I ever decide to write a book, I want to at least get it to the facilities that I spent time at. There's jails and
Tom, prisons. Unfortunately, we're out of time, man, but I'm going to have the information where you can help Tom have this dream of getting one of these wonderful books in prison. Go to our website, hopeishere.today.org. That's hopeishere.today.org. For Tom Carr, I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today.